MicroDebt100.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back with Gene and Chris talking to Leslie Kane. We're honoring the paperback release of UFOs, generals, pilots, and government officials go on the record. So if you couldn't afford the hardcover version, it's in paperback, it's an ebook version, there's that special on the History Channel. Just call History or History HD, Secret Access UFOs on the Record, 2-hour special premiering August 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And like other cable TV presentations in the USA, it will be obviously repeated. Leslie, is there any plan to take that overseas?
I think the History Channel does broadcast overseas. I've talked to someone in Ireland the other day who they broadcast over there. I don't think that necessarily the premiere date will be the same, but I think the European countries all get the History Channel. So and a lot of the footage we shot was in Europe, so I'm hoping that the people over there will get to see it. But I think that will happen. Eventually, it'll be out in a DVD as well. But I don't know how long that will take. So it's really depends on entirely what the History Channel does with it.
Now, the other question that Chris kind of brought up before we did our break about government disinformation, maybe making things seem to be UFO-related events to basically shield what's really going on, which is secret weapons testing. So I guess the larger question is, do you think that a substantial portion of compelling UFO cases are really secret weapons?
I don't think that the cases, the sort of leading cases that I've outlined in my book anyway are. I mean, in some of the situations, the high-level officials were able to make inquiries and find out through their sister countries who would not withhold that information from them. So, I mean, it's possible that maybe a couple of cases can still be explained that way, but the people involved in those cases have reported such extraordinary technological capabilities from the objects that they've observed that they have stated that that we just couldn't possibly have that kind of technology even if we were testing advanced, very sophisticated weaponry or aircraft that was under development. It's just the kind of technology that these things represent just could not be within our capability. I mean, that's what the military officials feel who have been involved with these things. So I think it's extremely unlikely. I mean, certainly, 95% of all UFO sightings can be explained, and certainly many sightings that people report are explainable through technological advanced aircraft that's being tested or whatever, things from other countries that maybe are flying around. I mean, yes, there's many, many, many sightings that can be explained that way, but I don't think that the very thoroughly investigated ones that I feature in the book and other cases that are out there as well can be explained that way. Especially if you look back decades at cases where we didn't have nearly the level of a technology that we have now. What these objects, again, what they demonstrate is just so far from removed from anything that we are capable of that I tend to dismiss that possibility for most of the cases.
We have another couple of questions from our listeners, and one of them has to do with the Phoenix Lights event, and there's been a recent story that is calling into question the original object that supposedly came down from Henderson, Nevada, over the western side of the Phoenix area, and then down to Tucson, where it then disappeared. Now, one thing that I want to note here before we ask the question is that I did speak with a scientist who used to work for a aerospace company that had something to do with our spy satellites, the DSP in particular. And he told me that DSP did pick up this original object that was seen 45 minutes before the actual flares, the famous footage that everyone is familiar with. But the question is, many have dismissed the 10 p.m. sightings as flares, the second set, the lights, which is correct in his opinion, but have asserted that the earlier sightings at 8 to 8:30 of a supposedly solid V-shaped object remain something more mysterious. But despite witness claims to the contrary, I believe the first part of this video clearly shows that this earlier object was not a single object, that the lights do move independently of each other and are probably jets flying in formation. Have you heard anything about this particular footage and this claim that maybe we were dealing with some sort of mundane formation of, let's say, jets or some sort of conventional craft?
Well, I mean, I looked at that clip that was, certainly the one that ends with the flare thing, but there's a guy named Terry in the beginning that has this footage, which he says was taken the night, that actual night of the Phoenix lights. Now, I have never seen that before. I don't know where that came from. The witnesses that I have talked to and the hundreds and hundreds of witnesses that called in to Francis Barwood's office, I mean, almost 1,000 of them, and people that were concerned about this, seemed so convinced that these were not planes in formation. First of all, the thing was totally silent. It was much lower. You know, the video clip that's on that you're referring to, yes, shows these lights moving around. The thing looks very far away, and it does just look like singular lights. But the reports that we have from hundreds of witnesses are not of singular lights. They're of an actual craft, a delta-shaped craft that was very low, low enough and slow enough that there is absolutely no way that they could mistake it for planes in formation. It's just an impossibility. And this is not just isolated witness reports. This is hundreds of reports. Plus, this, again, planes in formation are noisy. So, you know, there may have been planes in formation out that evening at the same time that these craft were out. But I'm convinced that, you know, I mean, I just do not think that every sighting of that delta-shaped object that was reported that night can be explained as planes in formation. And I think if you talk to many of the witnesses and put that explanation before them, they would find it ludicrous. And that includes, of course, Governor Fife Symington, who himself was a witness. And he certainly is 100% sure that these are not planes in formation. So it just isn't going to explain away what happened between the 8 and 9 o'clock hour that night. It just does. It's not going to happen.
Were you aware that DSP actually picked up that object and tracked it its entire flight path?
No, I would like to know more about that, actually.
Okay, I will put you in touch with the person that gave me that information.
Thank you.
I'm a little nervous name him on the air. But he's a fairly well-known person in the field, and I will put you in touch with him. What are your favorite UFO cases? I mean, you've done a lot of digging and looking and really dug into and studied and investigated quite a number of very famous cases. If you had one case, well, what would be your favorite one?
Oh, geez, I don't think I could say I have one favorite. I hate to say that, but, you know, the Belgian Wave is something I find extremely compelling.
Rather than just say, this is my favorite case, maybe summarize it. Not all our listeners have heard about this.
About the Belgian case, you mean? Or some other cases?
Yeah, let's have possibly a summary or two as we go into cases, not just identify them. Maybe 70% of our listeners say, yeah, I know what that case is. But other listeners who are just joining us on the network, just picking up the show, haven't heard about these cases. So maybe what we should do is, okay, you have several favorite cases. Maybe we can start here and in maybe the next segment summarizing those cases, telling these listeners what is compelling about them, what makes you find them important enough.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's, of course, a lot of very outstanding cases. I mean, one of them that I find fascinating is the 1976 case over Tehran, Iran, which I cover in the book through General Parviz Jafari, who was a pilot at the time but later became a general in Iran. And probably most people are familiar with it, but it's extremely compelling. There were two Air Force jets sent up to investigate this gigantic kind of diamond-shaped star-like object that was hanging out over Tehran, and the Air Force pilots, each plane had, I think they were, I forget what type of jet they were, but they had two pilots in each one, and eventually what happened was when they would get to a certain distance from the object, they would lose control of their radios and their equipment. It would all go out within, I think it was 20, 25 miles, and then at one point Jafari was up there with his co-pilot, and the larger object sent out these sort of projectile, smaller round objects which headed directly for him, and he thought that they were going to hit him.
And we'll go into the second part of that with Leslie Kane. Next week on the PowerCast, we will feature a lunar roundtable. You asked for it, with Don Ecker of Dark Matters Radio and, of course, the PowerCast forums, and author and publisher David Hatcher Childress next week on the Paracast. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Leslie Kane. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien on the Paracast. When we broke this sighting The pilot saw projectiles coming forth from the UFO?
That's correct. It happened at the two, three, four times, and each time he felt he had to fire a missile at it. So he was just about to press the button on this heat-seeking missile, which was going to be sent out, you know, it had locked onto the object that was coming towards him. And as he was about to press the button on his equipment, which would have actually sent the missile, which had already locked onto this projectile that was coming towards him, his equipment just went out. I mean, it was as if he had no power, and it was completely disabled by something. And it was very bizarre because in each situation, this happened right at the moment where he was going to press that button. Now, fortunately, these things never hit him, but he was up there with sort of this cat and dog kind of situation for quite a while, and there was this, you know, again, this larger object that he described that was just sort of suspended there. He described it as having these brilliant strobe lights. It was like one massive strobe light of these different colors that were flashing. So brilliant that he said you couldn't actually see a physical object. You just saw the light. And eventually he came back down, and there was apparently an object that had landed and was sending off. They never found that object, but there were signals that were being sent off from the ground. It was quite a situation. And I think one of the things that's really fascinating about this case is the fact that the United States government had somebody over there who went to the debriefing afterwards, and the DIA filed a detailed three-page document, a secret document about the case at the time, which was later released with the Freedom of Information Act, in which they gave an absolutely outstanding evaluation to this case. And the DIA evaluation that was written by Air Force Major Colonel Roland Evans actually states, quotes, "This case is a classic which meets all the criteria necessary for a valid study of UFO phenomena." And then it lists these points about what makes this case so outstanding. Now, that is being written by the Defense Intelligence Agency, by a government which has told the public, you know, 6 years earlier that it had absolutely no interest in UFOs and was not going to continue to investigate them and wants nothing to do with them, et cetera, et cetera. And here you are with a statement like that. So I find that extremely interesting. The document is as interesting as the case.
Doesn't that possibly indicate there is this secret interest in UFOs that may be ongoing to this very day? I mean, back in the old days, Major Donald Kehoe referred to the Silence Group.
Yeah, I mean, it could. You know, this colonel, this Air Force major who wrote this document reviewed the data, and he came up with this conclusion. You know, whether that means anything beyond that, I don't know. But certainly there was enough interest in it. You know, and I make the point in my book that after the close of Project Blue Book, there seems to have been a lot of interest in our government in foreign cases. You know, we have documents about cases that take place in other countries. We don't seem to have documents about cases that took place in our country. But obviously the interest continued, and we also know from the Bolander memo, that famous memo that was filed a couple of months before the announcement of the close of Project Blue Book, that, you know, channels were still set up for national security cases to be investigated. And certainly the mechanism was there within the Air Force and other intelligence agencies for UFO cases to be investigated. So, yes, it's no question that these investigations continued. We just don't know to what extent, how much of the information was kept secret, how much more they know than we actually have learned from documents that have been released. I mean, all of these questions remain unanswered, but there's no question that we have documents that show that there was a lot of interest and activity going on within our government in these cases. The Iranian case is an example of one of those cases.
What about the present day in the 21st century? Do we see documents that indicate ongoing interest today?
I haven't seen any documents on that, no. I mean, you know, and an example, a recent example being the O'Hare Airport case, which happened only in 2006. In which our government took absolutely no interest, and there's been, you know, there was the tapes that were released from the communications that took place with the tower during the event, but nothing on file about the case that we know of, and I strongly suspect that there isn't anything because there was just no interest in it. But it seems to me that the 70s and 80s, we have documents. There's nothing relevant, significant from the 90s, nothing about the Phoenix Lights on record. At least that we know of. You know, maybe it's too early to expect those documents to come out. But so the trend continues of certainly within the United States of ignoring cases as much as possible, and when pressed to give an answer, coming up with something absurd to just make it go away. That's exactly what happened with the Chicago O'Hare case in 2006, and that was only a few years ago.
Of course, that went on with the Roswell, New Mexico case. So many different explanations. So this book that recently came out from Annie Jacobson on Area 51, do you find any possible UFO implications there other than the controversial explanation for Roswell?
Yeah, I mean, I have to confess, I haven't read her book yet, so I can't really comment on it. I'm dying to read it, though.
Uh-huh.
But I did read about the story she came up with, you know, from that witness explaining the Roswell case. It seems really, really ludicrous to me. But, you know, I haven't read the book. I haven't really looked into it. But I can tell you as a journalist, I mean, this is what sort of struck me about that. You know, I would never write up a case based on one unnamed source, which is what she did in presenting that scenario. And, you know, it's just not something, I mean, I am so super careful to the extreme with the material that I present because of the controversial nature of it. That, you know, if I was thinking, boy, if that really sells books, that's cool, because think of the unnamed source stories I could have put in my book, and maybe I would have sold three times as many copies, you know. But it's just not responsible journalism to do that.
No.
That's the way I look at it. And she had this story based on one unnamed source. So to me, just the fact that that's the source for the story is suspect, is just not solid enough to really rely on.
Well, that source allegedly has been outed, but it doesn't seem like it produces any further information. And I'm only speculating here, folks. Maybe the publisher had her put that story in just to sell more books. Oh, there's a UFO connection. It's Roswell. Let's do it. Why is Roswell still so compelling? Is that the most important case ever? Because some people kind of want you to believe it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I think it's become so much part of the sort of culture. I mean, I guess it's interesting. It's popular because everybody knows about it. You know, people think of UFOs. A lot of people, the second thing they think of is Roswell. And it's just become this sort of mythology, which is part of our culture that fascinates people. And I just, you know, I don't think it's the most important case at all, just because it was so long ago. We've already learned everything we can learn about it. And I tried in my book to focus more on cases that were more recent. But yes, it certainly holds the public's imagination, absolutely, like nothing else does in the whole UFO world.
All the legends about UFOs kind of stem from that case, no matter what happened. So unfortunate,
yep.
I think. But the other question is here, do you have evidence of other possible UFO crashes? And we'll get into that in a moment. Leslie Kane joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys, which have the capacity you to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. ProtoGrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners who want to grow dirt cheap superfoods should visit the ProtoGrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We're back with Leslie Kane. And we're observing here the release of her book, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record, in a paperback version. So if you couldn't afford the hardcover, you want something that may seem a bit more disposable in terms of carrying it with you, get the paperback. Get it now. And, of course, there's this documentary from history, sometimes called the History Channel, called Secret Access, UFOs on the Record. So, Leslie Kane, any evidence of other UFO crashes come your way, equal, better than Roswell, whatever?
Gosh, I wish I could say yes to that, Gene, but no, I haven't gotten any evidence on crashes. I mean, I did work on the Kecksburg UFO case for many years, 1965, but that's nothing new. So, no, nothing new. And I, you know, there's so many sort of tantalizing, suggestive case. You know, I don't know if you can really call them cases, but just situations in which crashes may have occurred. But we just don't seem to have enough information about so many of those to really draw a conclusion about it. So I wish I had more to offer on that, but I don't.
And the other subject, which of course can be controversial, is that of UFO abductions. Where do you stand on that question?
I have great respect for the research that's been done in that field, mainly by John Mack, Bud Hopkins, and David Jacobs, and I find it fascinating and curious, and I just find it very interesting, but I certainly am not an expert on it. I don't really deal with that material because it's not the kind of material that I can make use of in terms of the goals that I have and what I'm trying to accomplish. So it's too sort of outside the box for me to carry along with the data that I carry with me when I'm doing this work.
Are the implications too out there? Is that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's not something, you know, I would want to bring to the scientific community or the political establishment. Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that it's not happening. I mean, I'm in no position to know, but you have to start with the very basic square one stuff if you're trying to reach people that completely dismiss the subject, which is, you know, here's the physical evidence for a physical phenomenon that happens to be in the sky, you know, or it has landed, but you don't talk about who might be driving that or why they might be here and all the things that the abduction material brings up. That's not something that I can take with me to a member of Congress. You know, it's just out, it's way too far out.
Sure, but you're forced then to be somewhat politically correct if you want to reach these people. You have to basically take a certain level of evidence, and beyond that, it's just not going to work. It's not going to gather their serious interest.
That's absolutely right. And the way you have to look at it is that once we get this initial door open, which is to whatever it's going to be, and hopefully it'll be some kind of office within government someplace that's responsible for dealing with this issue. Once that initial door is open, then we can move forward, and other aspects of the phenomenon, all the other more bizarre aspects of it, can eventually be dealt with. But until that moment happens, yes, I guess politically correct is the word. I'd be very, very careful about what information I bring forward in terms of these people being able to even relate to it remotely. You know, you got to deal with things like aviation safety issues, or you can't start talking about people being abducted. There's no way that they can take that into their realm and deal with it and, you know, be serious about it. It just has to wait for later, that kind of information.
What about the funding issue? I mean, we can't get the government to fund more unemployment insurance or improving our infrastructure, building roads, fixing bridges before they come collapsing down. How do you get them to spend even a few million dollars on UFO research?
It's a really good question. And of course, we were proposing a lot less than even a few million, though. If we're talking about one staff member, say, as part of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, let's say at the White House, who is sort of a coordinator for lots of different kinds of work that can take place in terms of coordinating with other countries, handling cases that might come up now. I mean, really, to have one person in place, this is like the minimum that we would ask for, is not going to be that expensive. I mean, they can use existing resources. That's the thing, in terms of if something should happen, like O'Hare Airport, and we want to send out somebody from our agency or our point person needs to investigate a case like that, it wouldn't cost a fortune for them to do it, because they just need to acquire data, and a lot of the laboratories and so on are already there in place. So even, you know, even a, I'd say half a million, you know, $1 million, something like that, to just get it set up is not that much if you're looking at the size of budgets that we're dealing with in terms of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, of its whole overall budget. It's a tiny, tiny amount.
Besides, how much money are they spending on the sex practices of turtles?
Exactly. I mean, it's crazy out there, the way the money is spent. I don't know what, you know, it's a battle. What can I say? You just keep pushing forward.
Wouldn't you be better having it done on a civilian basis, maybe trying to get grants to a college or university?
I mean, there are people that have tried that for years, and yes, of course, it would be wonderful. It seems a lot easier said than done. You know, and that's why I'm sort of more focused on if once the government can just slightly change its attitude toward this, it sort of opens up the doors for all these other things to happen, such as grants flowing into universities. But people have tried, and I'm certainly all for anybody that feels they can put together a civilian organization and raise the funds to make it work. Fantastic, but it just doesn't seem to be a possibility because of the problems you have with the funding issue. You know, we just need a fundamental shift in how we view this subject matter within the status quo, I think, before we can get some kind of liberation of funding to move forward with this. And we're really, it's a very stuck place that we're in right now in terms of trying to make that happen. But I don't see any other way to do it.
We're going to have to trick them into doing it, basically.
We'll trick them into it by using language like UAP.
There you go.
Not the trickster, Chris. Oh, it's the T word. We can't mention that here. You know, we're not supposed to let Chris ever say the word trickster ever again on the show, because the critics are out there saying he does it every single episode, which of course he doesn't. I did. But We don't want to get into that. Seriously speaking here, doesn't it also present difficulty with a lot of these private UFO organizations that sometimes go off the rails And I'll give an example of the problems that MUFON has had. You know, a lot of serious people, scientists are involved there, but they've had issues with that change of directors, their claim of financial irregularities. In fact, the last MUFON convention featured a couple of woo-woo people. Is it possible for civilian organizations of that to fill the gap? Can they fill the gap? Have they filled the gap?
You mean some other organizations other than MUFON?
And that kind of organization, is it possible to work within that purview?
I mean, I think even the best civilian organization, and in my opinion, that NARCAP, the National Aviation Reporting Center on Anomalous Phenomena, is an outstanding organization run by Dr. Richard Haynes. But again, they have the same issue. They certainly get some good work done at NARCAP, but they have no funding. But I think Dr. Haynes recognizes too, I mean, the limitations that a civilian group faces on investigating any case is simply the access of data. For a civilian to get information, you know, you got to go through the Freedom of Information Act. You may or may not get it. You get it months later. If you have a government official that can walk into O'Hare Airport the day after an event happens, that person can demand instantaneous access to any kind of information they want, they need. It's all provided. And, all the radar from all the different various stations around and interviews, they can get access to interviews with every employee, regardless of what United Airlines has to say about it. This is our government stepping in. Now, a civilian group can't do that. They just don't have that kind of access. And I think that's really the crux of the reason why we need a government agency to be active on this issue, is because it's assuming that they have the right intentions, that they're going to do the job properly, that they're going to make everything public, you know, all the things that we would hope for, they can go in immediately and get the data that's needed to properly investigate a case, and a civilian group can't. It's just that simple.
Hmm. We have Leslie Kane. Once again, her book is called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials. Go on the record, paperback edition available now. You can still get the traditional hardcover. It's available in an ebook version, and then there's that documentary on the History Channel, Secret Access UFOs on the Record. Got to ask a few more questions. We have a few more moments to spare with Leslie Kane. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Congratulations to our friends at eFoodsDirect.com.
In August, they celebrate 30 years in the long-term storable food business. To celebrate, eFoodsDirect.com is offering the lowest price ever on their one-year Freedom Food Supply, even less than the price in 1981. For a limited time, you get 30% off a one-year Freedom Supply, which provides three hearty meals per day for one adult. The Freedom Supply includes a large variety of fruits and vegetables, dairy, legumes, grains, sprouting seeds, and more. Plus, you get a generous supply of their quick fix meals. This is the most complete, extensive, and affordable unit they have ever offered. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get 30% off a one-year food supply. If you have ever considered getting a supply, now is the time. Call 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's AffinityHealthProducts.com healthproducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
All right, I just wanted to mention this for a moment. As the episode progresses, every time the episode proceeds, that Chris O'Brien's statement, the Paracast, gets deeper and deeper. We notice that, right, Chris?
Yeah, how low can you go?
Leslie Kane joining us, wondering what all this guff is about. Now, from what you're describing here, a government agency that would investigate UFOs, it kind of sounds like bringing back Project Blue Book. So is that the end game? Is that a possible end game?
Well, I mean, obviously not. We don't want to repeat the many mistakes and problems that we're all aware of that, you know, went on with Project Blue Book. I mean, the ideal, you know, this is, again, just sort of an ideal scenario that we, myself and my colleagues, have come up with, would be to have, you know, an organization that, and again, we're just talking about something really small, but that will not try to cover up events by coming up with bogus explanations for them. But the whole premise is to investigate cases and be willing to acknowledge if something can't be explained, just as simply as that, to do a proper investigation and to make it public. And one way we would hope to make sure that this happens in the way that it should would be to have an outside advisory board composed of, you know, outstanding researchers and military people and people that care about this issue and know a lot about it, to kind of guide this person and act as a resource for the person who's on the staff at this agency, and also to assure that, to sort of oversee it and assure that things are done properly and that information is made public. I mean, I think, you know, we're in a different time right now. I don't imagine a scenario in which we'd get an agency that, you know, the whole point of it would be, really, is to do it differently. And if we're just going to have an agency that's going to do what the FAA did at O'Hare, which is to tell us that it was a weather phenomenon, it's just pointless.
I'm thinking in terms of the announced goal of Project Blue Book. Say at the time that Captain Edward Ruppelt headed it for, what, 2 years or something like that, it seemed then to be a pretty serious, straightforward organization. Yes, it became a public relations arm later on where they did nothing but simply debunk everything. But don't you think Ruppelt tried to do the right thing?
Yeah, and certainly in the beginning, I guess the focus was really on, you know, national security issues. certainly the goals were, you know, to try to learn more about it and everything. I mean, but we're many, many years now forward from that. So I suspect that the framing of it would be different today. Yeah.
The framing of it is today we don't believe our government at all. I mean, Congress has, what, a 10% approval rating? We don't believe anything in the government. And if the government announced tomorrow that E.T. is here, they come from Zeta Reticuli, I guess is where Stan Friedman would suggest they come from. If they said that today, we would say, sure, right.
All right, that's probably true. We'd have to have some pretty good proof, wouldn't we?
A good old Barack Obama showing up hand in hand with Little Gray, you know, saying, I want to introduce my friend Mixel Smorp. A lot of people wouldn't believe it.
Well, they think it was a guy in a costume like at the Fife Symington press conference during the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah, oh boy, the hubris. And then to have him come forward and contribute to your book saying, I actually did see it.
I know. I think it's an amazing transformation. I love the story. I think it's a really fascinating story of his whole saga.
Yeah.
What is he doing today, Fife Symington?
You know, he travels a lot. He's basically retired. He's founded a culinary school in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
Which he's involved with. He's sort of a venture capitalist type.
So therefore, because I live in the Phoenix area and Chris lives in Arizona, we can come down here and have him cook us dinner.
Well, yeah, you should find out where. I think his culinary institute has a restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, he's really into that, being a chef and everything. And you know, we were filming him in Phoenix for the documentary for the History Channel. You know, we were out in the park where he originally saw the object, and these people came up to him who knew him from the school. I mean, he's, you know, he's quite a sort of well-known person in that area, not just for having been governor, but for that culinary school. So he's a man of many talents. He still flies, too. He owns a plane, and he flies. He has a home in Santa Barbara as well as in Phoenix. So he's lives a good life, and I know he does travel a great deal.
And he doesn't make saucer burgers.
I don't know what he makes. I think it's pretty sophisticated, whatever it is. So if you check out the restaurant sometime, I'd be curious.
Chris, when you're down here in Phoenix, let's look him up if we can find he's in town. Maybe do an interview with him. That would be fun.
Yeah, venture capitalist. Maybe he'll fund my camera project.
If he's a venture capitalist, okay, I'm going to ask that question, Leslie. Can he get you money?
I don't know if that's quite the word, actually, but, you know, he has business interests. Let's put it that way. But maybe venture capitalist is too strong a description for it.
So he can't get you money for research?
I don't think so. He knows the score, and he hasn't. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe if he was approached us for something specific, who knows? I can't speak for him.
There you go, Chris, and fund your research. I still think we should go to Paul Allen, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, even Steve Jobs, and ask them to write a few checks. I think miracles could happen if they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or George Soros' 28-year-old girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah, he's got several billion. He could fund it also.
She's got 50 million of it now, or is going to, based on some headline I saw. But hey, funding of these projects, I think even 10 years ago, would have been almost unobtainable to actually have a hard data monitoring process be funded. But now I think, you know, as I stated before, the technology has come down in price, and I think it's eminently doable for a private organization to be in a position to get unassailable, you know, wonderful scientific data that just cannot be, you know, just giggled away like most sightings are in this day and age of Photoshop and so many hoaxes we're dealing with. So it's not out of the realm of reason to expect that a private effort such as that could get funded and could actually come up with unassailable data. I think that's, to me, that's the clear choice of a path forward in this whole thing as a two-pronged approach.
Yeah, I was so excited by your description earlier of having the gear, and I know other people, too, that have developed very sophisticated photographic gear. And if we can just get enough people doing that, you know, eventually you're right. We're going to capture some data that will then expand the interest in the subject. So I agree with you. I think it's a absolutely fantastic way to proceed, and I wish you success.
It would be a great help to you.
It would
be a great help to your effort.
Absolutely. So you're doing it. Yeah, well, I hope you capture that data.
Yep, well, I'm working on it.
That's
He'll
great.
Let you know as soon as he lets me. You're the second person on the speed dial.
I'd be honored.
Okay. You'd be number two on the speed dial. I have to be number one because otherwise he's fired. But other than that, we'd like to have it. Now, the book is called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. The paperback version is available. Leslie, in the remaining minute or two left, can you tell our listeners what they could do to advance the cause of UFO research to get that serious interest at long last?
Well, I think, you know, all the different things we've been talking about during the show have sort of related to that question of, you know, possibly writing to their representatives if they can do it in a way that uses the right kind of language to, you know, reach these people who don't know anything about the subject matter, not to make claims about it, and just to support efforts such as the one Chris is talking about, to try to just spread the word around and try to stay very level-headed about it, not to assume that we know what the UFOs already are, but to remember the approaches that we need the help of the scientific community and of the U.S. government in order to solve the problem. And I think if we can take that approach, it appeals to the status quo in a way that other approaches just haven't and won't. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, each person can do what they can do within their own sphere of influence. And, you know, whether it be also influencing their local newspapers to, you know, write something about it or write letters to the editor. I mean, I don't know. Everybody can make their own choices about it. But I think we just have to all keep doing our best to try to elevate the discussion. And we talked about the problem with the conferences, you know, to try to clean up those conferences as best we can.
Leslie, can you tell our listeners where they can get a hold of you if they want to contact you and get more information?
Yeah, sure. If you go to my website, which is UFOsOnTheRecord.com, that's UFOsOnTheRecord.com. It's basically the website about my book. And there's you can reach me through that website. There's a comment, you know, an email system set up there where you can send me an email. Also on Facebook, I have a very active Facebook page, which is an open page, and I'd love to hear from people there as well. So either way, I really enjoy hearing from people who are reading the book or who have an interest in this. So I hope people will get in touch.
And by the way, you can find Chris's stuff, Chris O'Brien's stuff, OurStrangePlanet.com, and also a link to buy that new documentary about disclosure. From me and Chris to Leslie Kane, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thank you so much, Leslie.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, and investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.